Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Father, we thank you that you're doing a lot in our lives in these days. Father, I just pray that this morning each one of us would be really open to your word, to your Holy Spirit, and to everything you want to do today, that we see even more the evidence and the fruit of what you are working in us individually and in together as a family, as a body of people. Father, your heart is burning for the souls of people's lives to be rescued from an eternity without you. Father, you're raising up, awakening a people with your heart, with your passion and your desire to be ambassadors, to be carriers of your heart and your mercy, your grace, your love. Father, I just pray this morning that as we just look at your word, we would be prepared and ready to respond to you, to let go of our own identities, of any walls that we place around our lives, insecurities, fears, self-protection, self-defense, all the stuff that we can put around our lives. Father, I just pray that as we look at your word this morning, the Holy Spirit, you would come and disarm every one of us today, that there really would be a death and resurrection this morning in this room, in every life. Father, I thank you that death always leads to life in your kingdom. In the natural, life leads to death, but in your kingdom, death always leads to life. Praise your awesome name. Father, just work, or continue to work, this depth of love amongst us as a people that is of the supernatural nature of who you are. Do the impossible amongst us, Father. Father, I thank you for a greater hunger to know you, greater hunger to seek you, a greater hunger to want to walk with you. And out of that, a greater hunger to bless others, to serve others, to honor others, to defend others, to provide for others, to just be a giver into the life of the body and what that then looks like to the world. Saying, we've never seen love like this. We've never seen friendship like this. We've never seen heart like this. We've never seen a family like this. We've never seen what you guys live and what you are such an example of, what you live in. But I thank you that you really are serious about the church being a city on a hill and a light that is not hidden but is seen. And you want your church to be seen. You want your people to be seen as your representatives on earth. Praise your awesome name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Great. I like starting with a bit of prayer. Just turning your Bibles to two Corinthians, chapter 4. We're going to continue on in our whole series that we're going through of being a people of covenant with God, with one another, and then with God's purposes. And how many of you are having a great time going through this whole thing? And what do I mean by a great time? Well, maybe some of that is challenging. Maybe God's doing a number on you. Hopefully he is doing a bit of a number on you during these days. And hopefully in all of our lives, there's a little bit of discomfort going on, a little bit of challenge. And this week's theme, if you like, or aspect of covenant is I will defend you against any who speak and act against you and refuse to speak negatively about you myself. Amen. Well, that's quite a big one. When I was kind of praying about this and looking at this yesterday morning, I sat there and I read, you know, some of the things about covenant, and I was reading through some scriptures, and I sat there and I kind of had in my head, man, this is really challenging. And while I was sitting there, kind of, this is really challenging to love in this way, it was like a little voice. It was like the Holy Spirit said, it's only a challenge if your self-life is still alive. And it was one of those, you know, moments where you're sitting there and it's like, wow, this is a challenge. This is, and it was like, it's only a challenge if your self-life is still alive. And this kind of continual thought of, this is a challenge if you try to do it in your own strength. If you look at this and what my word says and you think, now, how on earth am I going to do that? I've got to try and do this. It's like the starting point, or we're starting from the wrong basis. And so we're going to kind of start in a different place than maybe how do we actually defend one another? How do we actually do what this aspect of covenant is? And we're going to start kind of with actually what needs to happen in us first that then actually we will then defend one another and we will do what the word says. How many of you know that before God releases something in our lives, often he removes something. You know, to receive God's life, you have to repent of your sin. So God wants to deal with something negative so that he can then put something positive in, which is himself. The woman who was caught in adultery in John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking to the people. This lady was dragged out in front of the crowd. And, you know, they wanted to stone her according to the law. And Jesus said, if anybody has never sinned, if you haven't done anything wrong, you can pick up a rock and you can throw it. And nobody could throw a stone because they all realized we've all done stuff wrong. And everybody gradually left. And there was only Jesus on his own standing before this woman. And Jesus actually had the right, because he'd never sinned, he could, according to the law, have stoned her, but he didn't. He showed mercy. And what did he say? He said, has anybody accused you? Or who is still here that is accused? She said, no one. And he said, well, neither do I. Okay, but he said, but leave your life of sin. So what was he saying? Look, there's mercy for you, but in order for you to live in that and live in the goodness of what I want to give you, you need to leave something behind. And sometime, and this morning, there's going to be some things we need to not just leave behind, but things that need to die in us. Now, last week's word that Pastor Colin brought was about, I will provide for you. And at the end, when we were responding, we were submitting our lives. So we were bringing our lives, all sorts of different areas of our lives, under the lordship of who Jesus is, so that there is his rule and reign in our lives in relation to that. Well, this morning we're going to kind of go a step on from submitting our lives, and we're going to look at what that means. So, because, you know, if you submit your life to the Lord, sometimes things can reemerge. How many of you noticed that? You know, sometimes you submit your life, but then there's reactions and there's things that happen in life, and sometimes self kind of reemerges and stuff reemerges because we've submitted it, but it hasn't necessarily died. It hasn't necessarily been broken off our lives, if you like. So there's nothing to resurface in that area. And God is doing something deep in our lives during this time. And for me, you know, I mean, the word's always positive, isn't it? But I like things to be uppy and happy and come on, you know, and all of that. But at the same time, God wants to, is doing something deep in us. And sometimes it's not comfortable, is it, when God is working in us? And because we want to feel uppy, we want to feel excited and come on, let's change the world, and you know. But God knows that's got to happen in the way that He wants it to in order to see the scale of what He wants to do. And if we're prepared, and this, one of the phrases that God has been using with me recently is going through the furnace of His dealings, if you like. That's the phrase that is kind of living in me at the moment, the furnace of His dealings. And I haven't seen that as a negative thing. I've actually seen it as something positive, because it's been like, God, just continue to work in me, continue to deal with stuff, continue to surface the things that I've just become normal, that I've not realized have become normal. Surface the things so they can be skimmed off like the refining of gold, so that there's more of a purity of heart and a purity of attitude or of motive or of thinking or whatever. And so I've hopefully, probably like you guys, been inviting a bit of the dealings of God in our lives at this time. So if we're going to walk out and live out this aspect of covenant, we're going to defend one another and against any who would speak against us, or and we're going to refuse to speak negatively, or we're going to defend one another, then there's something that needs to happen first. So let's have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 4, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. All right, let's have a look at verse 6, actually. Verse 6. For it was God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So God has shone something, God has put something into our lives, and let's have a look at what it is. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed or perplexed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. It sounds really exciting, doesn't it? So that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So the Bible is talking about we are like these earthen vessels or clay vessels. How many of you know that a clay vessel is fragile, cracks and chips and breaks easily? But the Bible is talking about here, but there's a treasure within, and it's the treasure that God wants to release through our lives. And the treasure is Christ, who He is, His nature, His character, His very being by the Holy Spirit that's living in us. And so God wants to release who He is in our lives. But sometimes there's some things that we put around our lives that hinder the way that the treasure is then released. Now, at this time, we're talking about, you know, being a people of covenant. Part of that is the dynamic of love and what that looks like being expressed in our lives. And one of the things that needs to happen in our lives is if that treasure is going to be released, and the life and the nature and the character of who God is being released through our lives, then there's some things that I've just called self-mechanisms that God wants to work or deal with in our lives. Let's just have a look at some of these things. First of all, it can be self-protection, self-identity. It could be self-worth or self-promotion. It could be fears that are going on in our lives. There's a number of things that we put up around our lives as walls of protection, because that we in one sense, have not got to that point where we've really allowed ourselves or that self aspect of our life to die. We still put value on our opinion, or we put value on what we think, or we put value on trying to create an identity or an image, because maybe there's insecurity there, or there's fear there. We're afraid of other people. There's insecurity. Maybe there's a lack of worth because we're looking at ourselves and not who God is. And so sometimes we try and protect this earthen vessel and stop it getting chipped and cracked and all of that, because we're still putting value and worth on ourselves. And actually, the Bible in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24, the Bible through to 26, begins to talk. Jesus was speaking and saying, "He who seeks to find his life will lose it, but the man who seeks to lose his life will ultimately find it." And he's talking about, in one sense, that moment of salvation. But salvation is an ongoing process. It's the way that you live. You live in the good of what God has done. Jesus talks about taking up your cross daily in those scriptures as well. And so the walk that we have, and in one sense, it is a challenge, because it's a challenge if there's aspects of self and aspects of self-protection, aspects of trying to keep self-worth, or aspects of trying to keep our own identity, or trying to promote ourselves because of any insecurities. There's aspects that if there's self that is rising for various reasons, then that's going to oppose what God is working in our lives. And that's going to cause frictions and tensions and turmoil on the inside of us. And it's a challenge if self is still alive in some way. If you've died to something, there's no life because there's death. And so if something has died, then no matter what the circumstances are, or no matter what somebody says, no matter what goes on around you, if something is dead in your life, there's nothing to react. Amen. Or there's nothing to flare up. There's nothing to come back on, because what has taken place has died. And this aspect of covenant, if part of covenant is I'm going to defend you. Now, what is defending somebody? Defending somebody is to look out for them. If you're in a sports team and you've got attack, you know, and defense, you know, part of your role, especially if you're a defender, you're looking out all the time. Where's the ball? Where's the other players? What's going on? You don't just stay in your zone and wait for the ball to come to you. You're looking out for the other players. Where are they? Where's their position? How are they doing? Where's the ball? Do I need to now cover? So I'm not just looking to help defend. I'm now covering where they might not be defended. I'm looking to cover where there might be a gap. I'm looking to fill in a space where what might be coming against us can get in around us and behind us and score a goal. So I'm not just looking, but I'm also covering here. And so in that covering, I'm looking to protect and create an environment of protection and stability, so that everybody can actually, we can turn defense into attack and actually have victory. And so in order to live that way, there's got to be some things in our own lives that we make sure are dead. Because if self is still alive, if we're still trying to defend ourselves, it's going to be very difficult to defend other people. If there's still things that are alive in us, reactions and attitudes and all kinds of stuff, and when the pressure comes, or we blame somebody else, or it wasn't my fault or whatever, then that's going to rise up. Instead of us actually sometimes saying, I'm not, if something's dead, it's like, well, actually, I'm not going to react to that. Because actually, I don't need to defend myself. I don't need to give the reasons why. You know, I'm not saying that gives anybody excuses just to do whatever they want and everybody's just got to forgive them. And you know, we have a responsibility. How we all live affects one another. But there are areas in our lives where, for various reasons, it could be the fear of other people, what they think about you. Could be self, that's just a kind of self-protection mechanism. If you're afraid, you put things in to protect yourself. Some self-image things, some of us, you know, and the challenge in from the word is, if we lose our own identity, then we find our true identity in who Christ is in us, because he is our ultimate security. Perfect love casts out all fear. So what is God doing during these few weeks or few months during the autumn? He wants to reveal who he is in his love to you in a fresh way. God doesn't just want to say, I'm your defender, or I'm your protector, or I'm the... He wants to reveal who he is, Because if he reveals something of who he is and the dimension of his love for you, then your response is, wow, what incredible mercy that he shows me. What amazing grace that enables me to live in the good of his life. What amazing love that is unfailing, that he never gives up on me. And so in relation to who he is, because the Bible says God is love. So it's not just that he loves, he is love. That's why he loves in an unfailing way, because of his nature and his character. And what God wants to do is to, which he has done, but he wants us to live fully in, is God's original intention when he created Adam and Eve was to have relationship, unity, or man, was to have a perfect relationship with mankind. And originally, you know, initially, Adam and Eve, they didn't have any fears. They didn't have any self-protection. They didn't have an identity of their own. They didn't struggle with self-worth. They weren't trying to promote themselves. There was a freedom. There was a liberty there. It was only when they acted independently from God, suddenly they became aware of themselves, and that's when the issues started to come. So God's plan of salvation was to restore mankind back into a perfect relationship with him. And Jesus did that through the cross. And so by repenting of our sins and giving our lives to Christ and him coming to live in us, that restores that relationship back with God that he intended it at right at the start. So he's restored us into that kind of relationship, now wants us to work that out. But that is worked out recognizing that the purpose that Jesus went to the cross was to kill the self-life off, was to kill the sin nature off, was to deal with sin and death and all of that. So there is the possibility, as we respond to God, that our self-life can be dead and that we live alive in Christ. How does that happen? Let's have a look in Philippians 2. Let's have a look there. Philippians chapter 2. Is it possible to live dead to self? Is it possible to live fully in Christ? Well, that's our aim, isn't it? Is anybody alive here this morning?
Yes.
We've got to deal with this first before we get onto some how do we defend one another? Because we've actually got to make sure there's no walls of protection that we're putting up around our lives. You know when something's reacted in you because somebody says something and you react and there's an attitude that comes back towards you. Or there's some turmoil that goes on the inside of you because it doesn't just wash off you. But let's have a look. How do we deal with stuff? Let's have a look at Jesus in Philippians 2. Verse 5. For your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now it's interesting, the word humble means to surrender or to submit yourself to. The word nothing there actually means to be broken. And so what God wants to do in our lives, and this is a really, hey, message today, and is last week we were surrendering, submitting our lives, saying, I want to be under your lordship. I want your rule and reign fully in my life. And that was surrendering and submitting. But Jesus didn't just surrender to the Father. It says he made himself nothing. Now, he was fully God, but yet he was fully man as well. And so Jesus is demonstrating here, if he, as the Son of God, had to submit himself but also make himself nothing, then what does that mean for us? That actually it's possible for us. It's not that God just rocks up one day and makes us nothing. God works in response to us, responding to him. And so those areas that might be alive in us where we want to defend ourselves, where we want to blame somebody else, well, that's not my problem, it was not my fault, it was them, and all the stuff that can go on, you know. If something goes on that you don't like, we can judge people and we come out with our opinions and this, that and the other. And it's stuff like that that God is saying, no, that's what needs to die. That's what needs to be broken so that this treasure that is within can actually flow. If you're going to defend one another, because to defend one another says, I want to put you first. It means I'm going to promote you. It means I'm going to honor you, which is coming next week or the week after. It'll be a lot more positive probably than this one. Not that this is not positive, but, you know, I don't know. But you see, if we're going to guard one another, then there can't be any guard in our own heart first. Yeah. If we're going to look out for somebody, for others, then there can't be a looking out for ourselves before. Otherwise, well, as long as I'm taken care of, then I'll do something. Well, as long as I'm secure and I'm all right, then I'll do something. And it's like that's really picking up our cross daily. It's like, God, as I get before you and as I surrender and submit to you, I don't just want to surrender this so it can resurrect at some other time when something goes on. But actually, I want this killed off in my life. I want this to be dead, broken, so that there is no reaction possibility in a situation. So it even covers it, you know, when you know you're not in the wrong and somebody else is in the wrong. It still means that we don't then... We're still then not justified in then saying, well, they were wrong and they were this and they were the other, and that, even though they might be. Because actually what this old defend you means is, look, come hell or high water, I'm going to defend you. I'm going to speak well of you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to cover you. And so we heard somebody recently, a leader, doing a leader session, and he said a great statement about defend in public, but talk in private. What a great statement. Defend in public, but talk in private. And you know, if you have an issue with somebody and, you know, or a situation or there's something going on or whatever it might be, don't go and speak to 25 different people. Somebody might come to you and say something about somebody else and you might know actually they're right. But what we don't want to do is have a conversation, because some of the things in Proverbs, I was looking at some things about gossip and what goes on. And it says here, a perverse man in Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separates close friends. So when we begin to speak like that, we separate ourselves. We separate others in the body because we're speaking words, and words carry things. Why is this important? What else does it say in Proverbs 18, verse 8? The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. You see, what happens if you or I or any of us speak negatively about somebody? It sows a seed. It sows something into the innermost part of somebody else. It puts a thought in their mind. And suddenly, that can begin to separate you from them or the person you're talking to from the person you're talking about. It can be bring a separation because you're sowing something that is separation. So then that person's thinking, oh, you know, this person. So when they come to that person, there's something that's going on in their heart and their mind because something's been sown like a morsel that is negative, infectious and everything. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. So we want to honor and defend one another. And in order to do that, we've got to make sure there's no self-defense mechanisms going on in our own lives where we protect ourselves, protect our own identity, protect this, that, and the other. And if there are issues, defend in public, but talk in private. Sometimes, you know, I get this not very much because maybe it's maybe not as easy to say this to me as it might be to some other people. But sometimes people will come and say something, and they'll intimate something about somebody else, okay? Not many people tend to come up to me and start talking negatively about other people, right? Because not, you know, if you've got the pastor, it's like, well, I'm not going to go and have a yak with the pastor about somebody else because, you know, I want to appear nice and holy in front of the pastor or something. I don't know. And, but, you know, if somebody comes up to you, you know, and starts sort of saying something negative, it's like if you join in with them in that conversation, you're just compounding the problem.
Right.
You know, now you might know that what they're saying is right. But actually, you know, what we want to do is look, okay, thanks, mate, but let's resolve this then. Let's get it sorted, shall we? You know, and defend in public and things have been said to me over the years about different people, you know, in leadership here, different people. And you know, I'm not going to stand and have a conversation with the person and go, yeah, yeah, you're right, yeah, you know, yeah, you know. It's like, you know, what they're doing is great. Their heart's good, their intention's good, da-da-da-da. Now, I might then go and have a conversation with somebody and say, look, you know, but that's the right way of doing it. Now, it's tough, though, isn't it, having those kind of conversations? Because you can get a reaction from somebody. But that's what God wants to deal with. So there isn't a reaction in any of our lives because it's not something that is alive that needs to be dead in that respect. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's talking about... well, let's have a look there for a minute. 1 Thessalonians 5. What's the time? I'll pray in a couple of minutes. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4. So what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to pray and not just surrender and submit, but actually ask God to do a work of brokenness in our lives, to break us of certain things. Now, when God works in our lives like that, he doesn't shatter us. He doesn't blow you apart in the sense that he destroys you, because God doesn't destroy us as people. But what he does want to do is deal with stuff to make sure it's dead and there's no life in it any longer. And it's going to be a work. It's not all going to happen in one moment. But I think as part of what God is saying, it's not, you know, when I was praying about this, it was the last thing I was thinking, oh, right, here we go. You know, I was, let's see, how can we really defend each other and be really encouraging and all that stuff? And God said, well, you can't if you're trying to defend yourself. And so let's do a bit of a deep thing in people's lives. Then they will do it together. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. It's talking about Jesus coming back. You're all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who are asleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So how many of you want to die this morning?
Oh, yeah, hallelujah.
This is a happy clappy church, isn't it? Yay! Come and die on a Sunday morning. Let's just have a look at 1 Corinthians 13. When I was reading this the other day, because the word says that God is love, God said to me, just replace the word love with me, with God instead. Because this is what the treasure is that is in you. This, the God, this perfume, it's whoever said up here this morning about the alabaster jar. And that's exactly what God wants to release, the fragrance that is in you already. And it's not that there isn't any fragrance flowing out, but it's like God wants to do something deeper in us today. So let's just have a look at the nature and the character of God for a moment. Verse 4, God is patient God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not proud. God is not rude. God is not self-seeking. God is not easily angered. He's slow to anger but rich in love, isn't he? God keeps no record of wrongs. Come on. And that's one of the things that's really important in terms of us letting go of stuff and letting it die so that we don't keep any record of wrongs. So we're not holding on to stuff and using it as ammo at some other date or time, you know, when something comes up. You know, we put it in a little, you know, your little store over there, and when you're having a bad day and somebody cheeses you off, you just put it out, poof, right, I'll get them back. And, you know, I've been waiting for that for 6 months. Poof, nice one. And it's exactly that God wants to make sure is not being ticked over in the fridge over here waiting for the day you can bring it out again. God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but he rejoices with the truth because he is the truth. God always protects. God always trusts. God always hopes and he always perseveres. God never fails. So the description of love there is just a description of God because God is love. So it's not that we're trying to get love and then love like that. He's saying, no, I am love and I am in you. Therefore, if you just allow me to deal with walls of protection or self-identity, or you come and you find your worth in who I am, there's no fear in love. As you allow me to just kill off and deal with the stuff that might still be alive in some way, that you're still connected and fueling in some way in your life. If you just defuel it, stop putting fuel on the fire of those things, allow me to deal with them so that those areas are dying. So there's no reaction. There's no attitude that comes. There's not a self-opinion. If you allow me to deal with those things, then who I am in you is the God of patience, the God of kindness, the God who doesn't envy, the God who doesn't boast, all of that. You'll find that you won't boast. You won't envy, but you'll be patient. You'll be kind instead. You won't keep a record of wrongs. You won't be easily angered. You won't be self-seeking because the treasure within is allowed to flow out because that clay jar has been broken before me. That alabaster jar has been broken and the treasure, the perfume is allowed to come out. And as the treasure comes out, you are ministering to me. It's like as you live like that, you are ministering to me like Mary did to Jesus on his feet and his head. So sometimes we think ministering to the Lord is worshiping, but we know from the word that your life, the way we live, is our worship. It's a fragrant offering. And so if we say, God, there's stuff here and I don't want it anymore, I want to die to those things, which we're going to do this morning in about 30 seconds. Then that breaks the clay, the alabaster jar, whatever it might be, and the treasure, the fragrance starts to flow in a fresh way. So let's stand together, shall we, and thank you, Jesus. So let's hit the negative first, and then we'll pray the positive. Okay. We're just going to pray through this 1 Corinthians 13. In terms of how we respond to the Lord this morning. And how many of you know, I know you all want to go forward with God. Yes. Sometimes going forward with God is decisions of your heart, of your will, not just your emotion or your, but it's a will. Okay, God, work in me today. I want to die today, areas that are still alive. So we're just going to just pray through this, and you can stand, you can kneel, you can find whatever position you want to get before God for a few moments. But I'm just going to lead through and pray through, not tell you what to pray, but just, okay, let's just talk to the Lord in this area now, and let's submit in a fresh way. Where self is still alive. In one of the scriptures we used earlier in the year, or a few months ago, one of the scriptures in Psalms about let us worship at his footstool. The word worship there means let us bow self down. So we're bowing self down in order for him to rule and reign in our lives. So let's just take a few moments to pray. Just firstly, just thank the Lord that you are His, that you belong to Him, that He's bought you with a price. Just thank Him that He has given you the fullness of who He is, that there's nothing lacking, there's nothing missing in your life in terms of what He has given you of Himself. Thank you, Jesus. And as you surrendered to Him last week, you are surrendering yourself in different ways to the Lord. But today it's like, God, I want some things to die in me. Firstly, we're just going to follow these through. Firstly, is there any envy going on in your life? Envy of somebody else's life. Envy of their material things. Envy of somebody else's giftings or abilities. Do you think of yourself in a way that says, I wish I was more clever, or I wish I was more this, I wish I was more that? And in one sense, that's envy, because you want something more than you've got. But God's saying, no, I want you to find your identity and security in me. You're a new creation in me. Any sense of envy, jealousy? It's not just surrender this morning, it's God, I want that to die in my life today. Where there's any envy towards somebody else. Where I look at things and say that, I'd really like that, or I really like this. In one sense, it's like, God, I want to die to desires and the trappings that can put a hook in my heart. I don't want to ponder on those things. I don't want to even feed myself on those things. That I become envious in my heart. I want those things. I want this, or I want that, or I want the other. Maybe materialistic things or other stuff. Certain lifestyle and all of that. So God, I choose to die to that pull. Thank you, Jesus. Love does not boast, or God does not boast. Exaggeration, making ourselves sound good. Just that can come out of insecurities that we want to make ourselves or come across more in a way that we maybe not. And there's some insecurities there. It's like, God, I want to die this morning to insecurity. I want to die to exaggeration. I want to die to trying to make myself, to puffing myself up. It says, God is not proud. Love is not proud. God, where there's pride, I choose. I don't just want to submit that to you. I want to die in that area. God, I ask you to break me of pride this morning. Break me of that self-protection. You need to talk to the Lord this morning. Don't just think this in your mind today. You need to put this into words. If this is in your heart, it's God, do something deeper in my life. I want to die in these areas where I don't react. I don't try and promote myself. I'm not looking for myself to look good in front of other people. Thank you that Jesus made himself nothing. I want to make myself nothing today before you, God, so that there can be that work of brokenness in my life, that I live a broken life before you. That doesn't mean you're shattered and you've got no worth. It just means you find your whole identity in his worth and who he is in you. And so letting go of exaggeration or wanting to protect yourself in an image or way, that, I tell you, let that be broken off your life this morning, and you come into a new type of freedom and liberty in your life, knowing that it doesn't matter what people think about you. You haven't got to put a wall of protection around you. You don't have to keep yourself safe. You don't have to create an image. You don't have to do those things, because your security is who he is in you. Your identity is in him. There's peace within you instead of a struggle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Love is not rude, or God is not rude. Father, ask to forgive me where I've been rude, where there's attitude there, where I've not honored others. God, break me of that in my life today, of any rudeness, any edge, where I don't honor, respect other people. Because rudeness ultimately comes because we don't honour or respect somebody. We're rude to them because we think we know better, or we have a better this, that, or the other. It's God, that I want that to die in me, where I think I know better, where I just want my way, where I, Father, Just work in me by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, forgive me where I've been rude or self-seeking, or I've put myself first. That can be really practical. Practical stuff in the house, practical stuff in your family life. Though even to those kind of things where, you know, we're putting others first. There's things that need tidying, sorting out. It goes down even to that level. But it is not self-seeking. We're not looking to fulfill ourselves first. Principle of the kingdom is give and you will receive. I heard one leader say that kings don't chase stuff. Kings in the kingdom, they don't chase things and stuff. If they pursue God, then stuff chases them. And it's another way of saying Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and everything else will be added. Love is not self-seeking. Thank you, Jesus. It is not easily angered. I know you might, some of you might have fits of rage. Some of you might have an anger issue. You need to repent of that. Now, God wants to break that off your life if you do have an anger issue. But firstly, you need to recognize that and repent, truly repent. It's like, God, I repent. I ask you that you would cut off of my life right now. Deal with that issue. I come before you. I need you to work in my life. But God, I repent of reacting, getting angry, fits of rage. God, I repent right now. From flying off the handle and all of that, I repent. Father, do a heart work in me right now where that is shattered in my life, broken off my life today. God does want to shatter stuff like that off, break it off so it cannot come up again. Sometimes that can be due with areas of unforgiveness. If you need to forgive people, sometimes people develop anger and fits of rage because there's unforgiveness there. And if we don't deal, sometimes that harbors, it begins to manifest in anger, manifest in frustration and all of that. Maybe you need to forgive somebody and let something go, something be cut off, a chip on your shoulder or just something that's niggling away at you. You might think you're right, and that's often why we don't forgive, because we think we're right and somebody else is wrong. But actually, forgiveness is not based on whether they're wrong or we're wrong or we're right or they're right. Forgiveness is a command that God gives, that we need to forgive those 70 times 7, which is endless times. I choose to let go. I forgive that person right now. For some with anger issues, it is about forgiving somebody and letting that go, letting that become dead. So that anger has no root any longer. It has no life to fuel its manifestation from any longer. Father, I thank you that you work in hearts and lives right now. Thank you, Jesus. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That's to do with forgiveness. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. Now, hopefully, none of us delight in evil in this place. But, some of the stuff we can watch and feed ourselves on, it might not be overtly evil, but it fuels some stuff that the world, wow, that's great, it's entertainment. But maybe there's some things for us that we don't want to sit and feed on it. So I don't know if delighting in evil is like rejoicing, oh, yeah, this is evil. I think sometimes it's feeding on it because the world does so much of it. What do you feed on? Because love delights in the truth. We want our lives to be lined up with the truth. I don't know, maybe there's some entertainment, some stuff that we might engage with, look at, watch or whatever, that just needs to die, let go of, because we don't want to feed on that, but actually want to feed on the truth. We want to delight. We want to live in the truth. So we're not feeding on two different things, but we're feeding on him. Father, I thank you right now just for a death and resurrection work in our life. Love protects. If you know there's areas where you haven't protected others, you've spoken negatively about them to other people, you've gossiped. And we've heard this morning that that like puts a morsel on the inside of somebody. It can bring separation, can cause division, put negative thoughts in other people's minds and attitudes. I mean, stuff like probably everybody in the room has spoken negatively about other people, maybe even this week. An issue has come up or something's raised and blah, 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 and whatever we do, it's like we need to let that die. Jesus, love always protects. Father, I ask to forgive me where I've not protected, I've not guarded, I've not covered, I've not looked for. Just pray through that for a moment. You know the conversations you've had. You know the thoughts you've had. You know the attitude you've had towards other people. It could be somebody at work. They're not even saved. God's not just talking about what goes on within the body. He's talking about, has self died? And are we living fully in Christ? And this will be a bit of a process. Love always protects. Ask him to forgive you where you haven't looked out for, you haven't covered, you haven't defended, you haven't stood on behalf of somebody else, but where you might have continued a conversation, you might have joined in, you might have added to something. It's like you need to put that fire out in your heart and life this morning. You might know specific things or just in that area. God, I want that to die in me right now, where I don't join in. I don't get attracted to gossip, but I'm actually going to be somebody who dampens all of that down, takes the wood off the fire and causes those things to dry out and stop. I want to be an answer and not part of a problem. I want to be an answer to these things. Love always trusts. You know, sometimes we put self-protection up because we don't trust God, but we don't trust others. Thank you, Jesus. Love always trusts. Love always hopes and always perseveres. Love never fails. Father, I thank you this morning that in my own efforts, I am always going to fail. Father, I like Paul did, he rejoiced in his weaknesses. So this morning, we can rejoice in our weaknesses. We can rejoice that anything in our own efforts, it's going to fail. We're going to blow it. We're never in our own efforts. There's no way we can live and love in the way that God... There's no way we can defend each other in our own efforts. We're going to fail. So in one sense, like Paul, Father, I want to rejoice in my weaknesses. I want to rejoice that I can't do this in my own strength. So God, I've got to be totally dependent on you and who you are in me. So continue to work in me this death and this life process that I pick up my cross daily, that I'm seeking, Father. I'm aiming for perfection. I'm aiming for who you are in me. I'm aiming to live like that, not under condemnation if I don't, but I'm aiming to live. That's what my heart is. And I thank you, as my heart is to pursue you and to get after you and to live these dynamics of covenant out with my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the grace and the enabling by your Holy Spirit to defend others, to guard them, to look out for them, to stand for them, to speak well of them, to encourage them, to promote them, to champion them. I thank you that you grace me in the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. I thank you that you, by your Holy Spirit, the anointing afresh this morning and the power to live in this way. I rejoice in my weakness that I can't do it in myself, but I put my trust in you. I thank you that you are the Spirit of love in me. I thank you are the Spirit of life in me. I thank you are the Spirit of forgiveness in me. You are the Spirit of kindness. You are the Spirit of patience. You are the Spirit of unfailing love. I thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for eyes of love that come from a heart of love, because my will is not to do what I want, but is to do what you want. Continue to work in me, Father, this death and this life principle of who you are, dead to myself and alive in you. So what happens then after this morning if we, something pops up, don't get under condemnation, deal with it quickly. Right. Keep short accounts with God. Right. Keep short accounts with God. If something pops up and you react in some way, it's like, Father, get, you know, even it, I think the Holy Spirit also can remind us just before we get into something, he goes, oi, 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 oi. And then we make a choice. Am I or aren't I? Am I going to or aren't I? And if you're dead, it's like, no, I'm not going to go there. And it might be a bit of a decision because you're taking fuel off the fire of something you might have just, hey, here we go. I can have a good old raha, you know. But actually, no, I'm taking the fuel off the fire now. I'm not going to join in. I'm not going to carry that on in my mind. I'm not going to do this, that, or the other. So instead, I'm going to deal with the reaction, the or whatever was kicking off on the inside of us at that moment. Short accounts. Short accounts. Defend publicly, sort it out privately. And sometimes that's not easy. You know? If we were all dead, it would be. In that sense. In the context, I don't mean physically dead. That would be very easy to sort it all out then, wouldn't it? But we're aiming for perfection. We're not trying to aim for something we haven't got. We're aiming to live in the fullness of what we have got. And that's the amazing thing about a Christian life. It's not that we're trying to get something ourselves. We've already got it. What God is, and how do you live in that? We're stretching out for who he is. In that sense, I'm reaching out, you know. But how do you live in the fullness? It's like, well, God, today I choose at the beginning of the day to live in you and not in myself. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're in me to enable me to live in the power of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you grace us this week to live in the way that you've called us to, commanding us to. But you knew we would need your Holy Spirit to enable that life to be lived. And so I thank you for a fresh infilling of your Spirit this morning that enables us to live a life that is dead to ourselves, but alive in you. So, Father, I thank you for the grace. If any of us in this room need to get anything right with somebody else, I thank you for the grace that enables us to do that. If you can do it today, do it today. So keeping short accounts is not just with God, it's keeping short accounts with one another as well. So, Father, I thank you for the grace where we might need to do that with somebody else and get things right. Where we just need to go and apologize. Where we just need to die and let it go and make things right. We just pray for those other people that we might need to do that with, that there won't be a reaction, that there would also be a work of death that takes place in them so that they might come alive in you in a greater way than they've known before as well. Father, use what might be negative in our minds as really positive in friendships, in family, in relationships, in the life of the body here. Father, as we seek to aim for perfection, to live out this covenant life together, I thank you for the grace of your Holy Spirit that enables us to live in this way. We praise your awesome, mighty name. Come on, let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.